just got to get that mentality that we got to score every time we're on the field. If we do that, then the sky's the limit for us.
Welcome to the Super Sports Halftime Show on KSCJ. Brought to you by Bob Rose, Point After, North End Zone, and Westside Pizza.
This season, my halftime guest for every game is sports writer Terry Hersom, who spent nearly four decades as the sports editor and columnist at the Sioux City Journal. In the previous episodes, all of which are available at KSCJ.com in the high school sports section, Terry took me through his days of youth in Cedar Rapids and his college years at the University of Northern Iowa. Tonight, Terry reflects on when his career took him from Cedar Falls to the town of Ottumwa in southeast Iowa, where he'd been hired to write half sports and half news for the local newspaper. Terry also tells the tale of the time he spent at the Iowa State Penitentiary in Fort Madison as a work assignment. But Terry also knew how to have a little fun. When the talented writer was not choosing sweets from the candy store for his Ottumwa readers to enjoy, the young Mr. Hersom found some time to hone his skills on the golf course.
So after UNI, you go down to Ottumwa, Iowa, and did you get hired as a sports guy there?
I got hired. They had one full-time sports guy, and this was a halftime job, sports and then news. And, yeah, I covered, about three murder trials, and it was just like It was so much of a downer. I just said, I need to get out of this side of things, and I finally did, and I took over that operation, and I was there about 5 years.
Now, one of the things I found interesting is you interviewed a guy who has a name that sounds like he could be a shortstop for the Yankees or for the Cubs, Gano Smith. Certainly wasn't, but I found it very interesting. You did a three-part series about him, and I wanted to ask you about it because he was an inmate at the Iowa State Penitentiary at the time, and he had a particular story you put together and won. It was an award-winning piece, and I didn't know you covered anything but sports. I was shocked to find it.
Well, yeah, I guess I was very young then, and I felt like this was a story that I remembered when I was a kid. This guy killed six people in an almost entire family. They had one little girl who was a rainy night in a very remote farm, and these people were quite poor, and he worked as their hired hand. And he was kind of a distant relative, but one girl, He thought they had money, and so he wiped out the family, and except this one little girl who crawled away in the ditches in the rain, and just a sad situation. But and you don't remember many things, but I believe that started out something about, here's what happened, and so forth and so on. And I said, but Gano is still alive. And I contacted State Penitentiary, and I said, is there any way I could do an interview with Gano Smith? And they said, that's totally up to the inmate. Well, present it to him and let you know what he says. And he said, yeah, that's fine. And we went down and did about a three-hour interview. And after putting all the work I did into that three-part series, I came in the day it was supposed to run the next day, and Richard Nixon resigned. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? It's like I have all this work invested in this, and you want to run this on the same day as? So I figured I'm bumped off the front page, but I'm proud to say that the Ottumwa Courier did half the front page on Nixon and the other half on that story there.
Oh, that's a great story. That's a great newspaper story. Yeah. Because you can't control something like that.
No.
So, but you're covering this, and so you go down to the old Fort Madison prison there, right on the banks of the Mississippi River. And is there a certain aura of creepiness to it? Because that was a creepy looking prison before they got the new
just
one.
You know, going through places you had to, you know, this is almost like COVID now. You know, you had to pass through this security, and then they would close the door behind you, and then they'd take you to another one, open that, and let you in there. And they were actually quite cooperative and helpful. And they gave us a room, and they said, you know, let us know when you're done. And I never felt threatened by the guy being face-to-face like we are. And I wanted to know what makes someone like that tick. I don't know that anyone will ever know what makes people like that tick, but I came to the conclusion that many people who commit heinous crimes are just not very intelligent. And he had, like, naive, like I said, he thought this family had money, and they didn't. And so he winds up escaping from there, and he is on the loose for like a week, and they finally found him in a farm, in a barn somewhere. And the family he murdered, their name was Macbeth.
Yes.
And, wow.
I also have to ask you, speaking of Macbeth, you did some music theater in high school.
I did.
Do you remember what you were in?
I was in, well,
Cabaret?
Carnival.
Carnival.
But my sophomore year, I did, ninth graders didn't go to high school there. They went to junior high. And so my sophomore year, we did Music Man, and I was in the barbershop quartet that was played by Buffalo Bill, the Buffalo Bills barbershop quartet. And that was kind of fun. My junior year, we did Carnival. And I can't remember what my role was in that. And then my senior year, we were the first high school in the United States to rent the libretto, which is all the scripts and music and everything, for Camelot. And it was still playing on Broadway. And
oh, wow.
So I wanted to be Lancelot. And I had been a 3-year member of a concert choir, and there were only 3 of us in my class, and they very seldom took a sophomore, but we took tremendous trips every year, and Washington had like 4 different levels of vocal music, and the concert choir was the elite. Our director for the 3 years I was there, and he left after that, was the director of the Old Gold Singers at Iowa, and left that job to come to Washington. So, you know, he's a very talented man, could play piano very well, and he wound up leaving there and going on tour with Roberta Flack as a pianist for her.
But, oh, really?
Yeah. So that was fun. But I wanted to be Lancelot. And so I tried out for that part. And I didn't get it. And I, you know, without getting into particulars, I've bemoaned this for many, many years. And I was taking my younger son to school one day to, I can't remember if it was middle school or high school, but and I don't know how this came into his mind, but he had heard me complain about this enough over the years that I didn't get that part. And I'd lost it to a guy named Dan Shaheen, who wound up on Broadway and still is in the production side of it. But he said, "Dad, maybe Dan Shaheen was a better actor than you." And I said, "Jim, how could you, why are you always so insightful?" Yet that's exactly what the truth is. And I realize that now, but I didn't know. I just thought I would keep complaining about that the rest of my life. And
but you got to be Sir Lionel.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing what's out on those newspapers, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah. Wow.
So, Dan Shaheen was known as Danny back then, apparently. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, he was.
But, and you were also involved in these singing groups, and what I also thought was amazing, I know we're kind of jumping around, but we can edit this later. You were in the folk singing group, and you and some other people would perform for a group of teachers that they had an event at the country club. So I found that interesting. But how much were you performing with your school groups at different events around Cedar Rapids at the time?
Well, I had this. I don't remember. Elmcrest Country Club. That's where Zach Johnson's from. And but Cedar Rapids Country Club was more elite. And but we had this group called the Burbridge Minstrels, and there were two female singers, and one went on to has spent her whole life singing and coaching opera. And the other one moved out to, she went to Drake, and she moved out to Los Angeles and was a jazz singer out there. And then she moved to Seattle, and I saw her at my reunion, and it was like, I didn't even know if she was still alive. And she said, "If you don't mind, I'd like to send you a copy of my CD and see what you think." And it was just pretty bluesy. She had moved back. She left her husband and moved back to Iowa and lived in North Liberty. So
that ends this week's portion of my conversation with Terry Hersom. Join us on the next halftime show for more. And we'll be back with more high school football right here on KSCJ.